Chapter 3.
What's your name?
Cynthia heard him, felt his gaze, but she'd been riding in the bus for 10 minutes and had regained hormonal control. He could be talking to someone else. He wasn't. She knew this, but played it off anyway. Working to look preoccupied, she found a name and began tapping the keyboard. You won't believe where I'm at and what I'm doing.
Okay, you're a newbie. So I'll give you a pass and explain how this particular metro operates. This is Byron Carter's bus, and there are rules. Number one, never ignore the person who is responsible for your safety, has travel information you just might need, and because of the unfortunate events of 9/11, can put you out at any stop, no questions asked, and police for backup. The chance that she might miss the meeting immediately improved her hearing. She raised her head, glanced around, and then looked at him.
Oh, are you talking to me?
He sure isn't talking to me,
the gray-haired, pleasant-faced lady sitting next to the door, an obvious regular, had been chatting nonstop since Cynthia boarded.
I've been riding this route for going on 15 years. Remember this boy from when he first got the job, but he was over on Slauson then.
She leaned over and whispered so loudly that she needn't have bothered.
Got so close to cars you couldn't push a toothpick between them. I never prayed so much in my life.
Byron laughed. That wasn't a mistake. That was skills, Miss Davis. Have I ever hit anything?
Other than football players or your girlfriend? I don't think so.
The other regulars joined Miss Davis in laughter. Byron side-eyed her. You know you're wrong for that. He shook his head, chuckled low and deep. The sound, smoky, beguiling, stirred something in Cynthia's heat as the thought of that voice whispering commands in the dark popped up unbidden. A subtle headshake dispelled.